If you want Colts talk all year long, you're in the right place.
Fires it upfield, caught over the middle, Michael Pittman Jr., there he goes! He's at the 40, he's at the 30, slips out of a tackle, 20, 10, 5, touchdown! Michael Pittman Jr. takes it 75 yards to the house!
Big run, angling left, 40, he's at the 30, down the near sideline, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown! Jonathan Taylor, a 49-yard gallop to Peter.
In the Indiana Union Construction Industry radio studio, let's get the podcast started.
Welcome to the official Colts podcast. I'm Jeffrey Gorman, Miss Lara Overton, usually here. J.J. Stankovic, he is not, so we're going to run this thing. L.O., we have a lot to go over right now because with the draft upcoming and the new players that are upcoming, the behind-the-scenes look that this department, the Colts, have done, getting ready for the draft and everything like this, award-winning. It's called Behind the Colts. We're shooting on Tuesday right now. This opens up on Wednesday, and you're a big part of it. I want to start with that because you're not going to want to miss this. I promise you, if you're a football fan, let alone a Colts fan, and you're a big part of it. And the funny thing the other day was you were racing by me out to the parking lot, and I said, you know, Lara, where's the fire? Where are you going? She's like, I'm running to Shane Steichen's house up there. I got to go sit down and talk. It was just so funny. And you were not frazzled. You were like, I'm out of here. So I'm saying we're getting a glimpse into stuff behind the scenes that we've done in years past. But this one's a little bit different. And obviously with Shane Steichen going into his second year and the upcoming draft. Lara, just give us a quick, once over as far as behind the Colts goes.
This is an expanded look into the organization that will certainly include the draft as everyone has come to expect. With the next pick, that series and everything that you would see, that will include that. But now we're also taking a look at head coach Shane Steichen and guys who are returning to this roster, you know, veteran players. So you will get a more expansive, in-depth, comprehensive look. In the past, we've kind of run basically January through the draft. This now we can go into the summertime, even looking ahead toward Hall of Fame weekend with Dwight Freeney and his induction. So this will allow us to cover many more events and provide multiple sides to building this team for the 2024 season. And then also the excitement of having things like Canton weekend with Dwight and all of the guys who will be involved there. This coaching staff, returning players, a whole bunch of them who you just saw come in and sign those contracts last week. And one thing, JJ will be included in this podcast because he's part of some of the interviews coming up. We can never do the entire podcast without JJ.
No.
So he is part of this podcast, just not here sitting on the seats with us right now.
Well, you're going to hear from Zaire Franklin. You're also going to hear from Wyquan Davis. But I want to start with, before we get into Zaire and what he means to this, and obviously the extension, and the Colts have showed that, hey, we're dedicated to this guy and the rise. We'll get to that. But this time here, with free agency out, do you follow Twitter to follow, or Twitter X, to follow what the keyboard general managers are hearing and they're seeing? And if it were me, I'd do this and stuff. It's hard not to see it if you're social media.
Well, yeah, I try not to because there is so much speculation and the majority of it is false, right? I also want to think back, like, what was it like 15, 20 years ago before the, you know, explosion of Twitter, right? Before as expansive as social media has become and as prevalent as it's become. The thing is, you have to be careful, is Twitter allows everyone to think they're Adam Schefter and they want to break news. And more often than not, they do not have the credibility or the source. My sources say, well, anybody could be your source, right? You know, like I could say that...
A neighbor that likes football?
Right, totally. Like the guy I talked to at Mike's Car Wash is my source. Whatever, you know? Like it's like, what is a source? What does that mean anyway? Like that whole term has been so diluted by the keyboard general managers, so to speak, or the faux Adam Schefters, the wannabe Adam Schefter. So I try not to because honestly... My brain only has so much capacity to handle information at this point of the year between free agency, guys getting ready to come back in for OTAs, preparing for the draft, that I don't want to bog it down with falsities and all the speculation that I try to stay based on. Okay, what is actually happening within our building and what are the big storylines that are out there elsewhere? You know, maybe, you know, where are other guys going or who are guys who are free agents still that are on the market that you're after, rather than following too much of it. It was an interesting weekend. Without naming too many names, it was an interesting weekend if you were following Twitter at all. The thing was, I did a trail run, a trail race at Holiday Park on Saturday morning, 9 a.m. I take off. I start and, you know, I'm into my playlist on Spotify and about a mile in, it's just ping, 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 because it's all the notifications that are coming up between, you know, Twitter and everything because Colts are getting mentioned, this or that. So all those keyboard warriors really, you know, ruined my mojo on my trail race. So, you know, I'm trying to stay off of it after that.
Right. And it's funny, they're not threatening each other, but it's kind of funny because it's like, you don't know, no, you don't know. And it's like, those, we, you know, I mean, the professionals are out there. They usually got their hand on the pulse. Believe it when they say that.
Well, and it's why people like, you know, Adam Schefter and Diana Rossini and, you know, I'm trying to think, Dan Graziano or, you know, whoever it is, Rappaport, right? Uh-huh. That's why they're paid very well and they are at the caliber that they are because they are, you know, the majority of the time, accurate in what they're reporting. And there is a lot, too. Should they report something incorrect, there's a lot of backlash for those guys. If it's some random, you know, who has numbers in your Twitter handle, you know, and you're the egg emoji or, you know, the egg, whatever it is.
Maybe don't listen
avatar,
to
it. Yeah, you don't have as much to lose. You can just throw crazy things out there with no repercussions, right? But if you're right, then people are like, oh, this guy really knows something.
Then you got your, hey, right. I'm just saying, it's kind of fun watching those things because we don't know what's going to happen in the draft. We don't know what general managers are thinking, and we don't know who they're thinking of, possibly this scenario. And I want to bring it to you before we hear from Zaire Franklin. This was a couple of years ago. There was a similar situation. Think the Colts were picking 13th. Ended up getting DeForest Buckner, sent the pick out to San Fran, and got DeForest Buckner. Here's Chris Ballard in the middle of the pack again when this draft choice comes up. There's always team needs. I don't care what team you're on. There's always team needs that you need. But is it a similar situation that, hey, if he can get value for a veteran, come in, work a contract extension in with a possible contract that's expiring, does it happen again?
Well, I think every possibility is on the table. Right now, you're going to look at every option to get better. And speaking of the keyboard warriors, who had predicted that back in 2020?
Right,
who
right.
thought that was going to happen?
No one. No, we didn't hear anything about that.
Right.
Anything.
That was 2020, right? Now it's all...
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And Lynch was up there. It was... Balky was gone. Lynch was up there. And that's when it happened. Yeah.
So I think that any possibility is out there. They are vetting every player in this draft, whether it's the one that they take in the first round, the seventh round, does not matter. I do think that you'll explore some things because there is never just one way to address a need. And you also don't want to put yourself in a position that you are grasping for a fit at a need either, right? That you're saying, oh, shoot, we still haven't filled this void. And again, to go back to something that we talked about, I think it was last week, you don't stop building a team after the draft. Think about the signings that the Colts have had post-draft over the course of training camp. Throughout preseason, there's a lot of movement as well. So, again, I kind of always tell people, like, don't – people want to immediately get so invested in free agency or immediately in the draft, and they want everything addressed and everything fixed at that point. Don't hitch everything, all of your investment, onto one period of the time because there are all of these different stages and phases of the offseason that are going to continue preparing you for September, and there's not just one way to fix any of it. But yeah, I do think that Chris Ballard and Ed Dodds and Mike Bloom will be on the phone kind of fielding some calls about different scenarios and you know, looking at what's the likelihood of where other teams are going to pick and what could be there at 15 versus what's worth giving up to go out and get somebody who is going to be a proven commodity to help you right now.
Or dare I say something we haven't talked about. Hey, they're at 15 and Ballard says...
Move back.
Or move up.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I wish I could tell you guys exactly what's going on, but the pieces move daily and stuff like that when it comes leading up to this draft. So you don't know these general managers. I think I have an idea what's going to happen in the draft at 15, but they don't know. They're going to get an offer that they haven't heard up to this point, possibly. Or they say, hey, we want to go get that guy, and it's not going to set our franchise back several years by moving up six spots to get a guy we covet.
Well, and one thing that I think cannot be overstated right now is obviously Coach Steichen was heavily involved in the pre-draft process, you know, especially with the quarterbacks and knowing that that was the direction that you were going to focus on. But think about all he was juggling at this point 1 year ago. He was still building out his coaching staff, you know, immersing himself and getting ready for the draft, all of that process. So now I think that with the coaching staff secured, everyone in place, think about how much more involved, you know, that Coach Steichen, Chris Ballard, all of these guys can kind of be working in tandem that, you know, maybe even more often, more frequently than he was able to last year. Maybe Chris is able to tab Shane and be more involved in these pre-draft meetings because he's not spread across doing so many different things. And again, he was heavily involved last year, but he doesn't necessarily have to be going to pro days to focus on a quarterback, you know, with the top 30s. Because you've got that secured now with Anthony Richardson. You know what you're going to do. You have a plan. So now he can take his expertise and look more broadly at, okay, what are these various scenarios and what can help our team, especially, you know, what can add more weapons potentially to the offense. So you think that there have to be, to some degree, more conversations happening now and how valuable that is for Chris, because Chris really values Shane's opinion and they want to be in tandem on any moves that are being made this time of year.
Absolutely. And having Steichen with a year under his belt, just those things that he says on this year, hey, I don't need to do that this year. I did that last year. It didn't benefit me, so I'm not going to go to this pro day. I'm not saying he's not going to pro days, but there will be some situations where he goes, it didn't benefit me last year, but this year I learned.
Well, and I just also think, too, is you're better equipped where it's like, okay, Jim Bob is going to take this section of things because he is awesome in that draft room. I'm not sure if you guys saw it last year and with the next pick, but he's super vocal. He is heavily involved in that. So, you know, you do think that there will be some sort of divvying up of a few of those maybe position groups with what you have now, you know, with everybody, again, having that continuity going into a second year.
Well, we're talking about not knowing. That's right. We're talking about not knowing a little bit
on
this thing.
Great information we're delivering you.
Throw
really
it on me.
Valuable for everyone who's here for the insight. But, go to Twitter for that.
But I do exactly. But I do have a background on this, and because we're talking about the GMs, the Twitter GMs, and we talk about, hey, what did they do? What did they do there? Let's go back some years. If somebody said, what was Zaire, sixth or seventh? What was he, sixth rounder?
Seventh
rounder.
Yeah.
So let's go back a few years.
The last, I think it was the Colts' last pick of that draft.
That would say, okay, right there, seventh rounder, that would say, hey, by the way, in about 4 or 5 years from
at
now.
At least the last linebacker selected, because you had, in that same draft, you obviously had Shaq Leonard, Zaire Franklin, and then there was one other that it's escaping me right now.
I was in Nashville at the time, so it escapes me
Speed.
As well. Like
was it
this.
Speed?
EJ Speed?
Speed or Speed later. I gotta look.
Okay, my point is, like, nobody out there saw Zaire Franklin getting a big extension, a worthy extension, a overdue extension for this guy, for what he's meant to this team as a seventh rounder, fast forward a couple years. So again, we don't know. These guys that come through the draft, I don't know if that the Colts saw this guy as a seventh rounder. It says, hey, he's going to be our defensive captain. He's going to lead the NFL in tackles for two straight years.
Set the franchise record.
And set the franchise record. So I'm saying, like we don't know. But it brings me to Zaire. The Colts did sign him to an extension that will kick in 2025. Briefly, before we hear from the great linebacker, Lara, I've always said the same thing about Zaire. This is a Disney movie. I call it that because, you know, you're seeing a young man that's going to Syracuse that's saying, hey, the NFL sort of wants you, but they sort of have some ideas of maybe you're not the guy coming at the seventh. All he did is work his tail off, a special teams ace, developing in behind Shaq Leonard, and obviously what happened with Leonard, he goes down. Zaire comes in, and they're like, wow, this not only can this guy do it on the field, but this guy's voice in the locker room is so helpful. Just give me your once-over on Zaire and what he means to the locker room for this upcoming year, and like the outlook of the 3-year extension that he got and how it was so overdue for what he's put on the field as a 7th-round draft choice.
Oh, he's meant everything from the leadership standpoint to the way that he approaches his play. You heard at his end-of-season press conference when he talked about, you know, you're walking in the building and you're just trying to make the team. And then you're, you know, trying to play on every phase in special teams, trying to be the best special teams player on the roster. And then you're trying to get on the field on defense. And then you're trying to be the best tackler, best, you know, linebacker on that team. And just the fuel for the grind, all of his motivation that has gotten him to this point. He is immensely valuable to this team. And I think that last year, more and more people across the league started to take notice because he did set the franchise record in tackles 2 consecutive years. He was the team's Walter Payton Man of the Year last year. He's been a captain. He has done all of those things that have proven not just, you know, the impact player that he is on the field, but who he is off of it with his leadership as well. When you think about what this team endured over the last, you know, 2 years, really.
Coaching changes,
and,
et cetera.
Yeah, and who have been the steadies? Who have been, you know, your pillars in all of that? And, you know, Zaire comes as one of those, you know, top three that comes to mind that you're going to discuss in that, for sure.
And if someone's out of step in that locker room, I think Zaire has that role that he's going to say, yo, let's come back in. You're off in the outside lane. Let's bring it back to the inside lane. I'm saying that's the value that a leader like that and coming from that, hey, I got to bust my tail to make this team, to all of a sudden now people are looking to him for guidance. So with no further ado, let's bring in Zaire Franklin. Earlier in the week, he sat down with Matt Taylor, voice of the Colts, and J.J. Stankovic. And apparently there was a very, very special guest that dropped by during that interview. Here's Zaire.
He's not a free agent, but he's back with the Indianapolis Colts under solid footing. That would be Zaire Franklin playing the linebacker position, getting a contract extension with J.J. Stankovic. I'm Matt Taylor. Zaire, again, not a free agent, but congratulations on what this means to you. You know, certainly, you know, the last couple of years, you have outplayed, outperformed with the Colts. He kind of tabbed you as. What does this new contract, what does this feeling mean to you?
Obviously, it's just relief. I'm just thankful that, you know, I was able to, you know, put myself in a position to, you know, help my family and, you know, help solidify my career, you know, not only just, you know, moving forward, but also to Indianapolis. But, you know, it feels good to just have the team commit to me as much as I'm committed to them. So just thankful that, you know, to, you know, be a part of a great organization. Now that's out the way. Let's get to these wins. Let's get to these banners. So
where were your emotions when, you know, the Colts kind of came to you and your representation and said, hey, let's talk about this. Let's talk about keeping you here, keeping you really, you know, compensated like a starting linebacker in the NFL.
Well, it didn't necessarily go that way. But I would say, you know, it was a process. I think, you know, Chris, Mike Bloom and the Ursays, they understood that, you know, the last deal that I did wasn't, you know, necessarily like, you know, it didn't really represent my role.
You hadn't been a regular starter.
Exactly. Yeah, so, right. You know, it was at one of those points. And, you know, honestly, it was a long process, highs and lows. But, you know, I respect how they went about their business. But, you know, I think it was just something that, you know, I felt like I had to keep, you know, earning, you know, keep knocking down the door for,
right.
Much like everything else in my career. You know, it's just, you know, every time you reach a new level, it's somewhere else to go. So this was just the next level.
I've got a feeling, though, that now that you're here and you've reached a new, you know, level or status or whatever you want to call it, it's not going to change who you are. It's not going to change your preparation. It's not going to change how you play the game, right? I mean, it's one of those things where I remember talking to you as a rookie and you're scratching and clawing, you know, just to get some reps every other team period.
Yes,
and
exactly.
Now here you are, one of the best linebackers in the game. Mm-hmm. But a credit to you, it doesn't change, you know, who you are and certainly your character.
Oh, no question. I might be a little more reckless now, honestly. Got a little security with me. But, no, I mean, like I said, it's good to get that out the way, to be honest with you. Like, I don't play for money. You know, money doesn't necessarily motivate me, to be honest with you. Being with my teammates, just the love of the team and the direction where we're going is, you know, what drives me to be, you know, the best player, the best teammate, best leader that I can be. But, you know, I understand that, you know, we all play for a goal and that's to take care of our families long term. So just thankful that I was able to put, like I said, to put that myself in position to be able to take care of my family. But now, you know, it's just with those weight off my shoulders, you know, we keep the main thing. And that's just getting better every day and continuing to lead the team to wins.
I think about this a lot. I talked with Bobby Wagner this summer for a story I wrote on you. And something he told me is he was like, he told you that, hey, last year, 2022, they didn't see you coming.
Mm-hmm.
This year, they're going to see you coming.
Mm-hmm.
So you have 166 tackles in 2022, and they didn't see you coming.
Mm-hmm.
They saw you coming this year. You had 179 tackles.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where can you keep growing as a player, you know, now that you're going to have this kind of stability here in Indianapolis?
Yeah, I think, you know, Bobby actually, shout out to B-Wags, but he talked to me a lot about that even when I was a younger player, just that, you know, the first year you do something, you pretty much catch the league by surprise. You know, he said there's only great players that are able to continue that level of consistency over, you know, a course of several years, and obviously he's a prime example of that. You know, 12 years, 100 tackles, 9 Pro Bowls, you know, Hall of Fame resume speaks for itself. But for me, I think it's just, you know, my growth comes in just continue to try to make those, you know, game-changing plays, truly try to put my imprint on the games that I play. I think, you know, towards the end of last year, I started to gain that type of concept, that started to understand and to really try to take my game to that next level. And, you know, it's a work in progress. Like, look, I'm not perfect. I got a ways to go. But just understand I'm committed to being the best version of me.
Zaire, you've been a team captain almost every single year you've been here. And this is a total compliment to you. I mean, I think there's a lot of good leaders within this locker room, but I think you're it. I think you are the biggest leader on this team, regardless of what side of the ball you're talking about. Do you realize that? And B, how important is that to you in terms of what you're bringing to this team?
Man, you know, I think it's something that I've felt for a few years, you know, even before I was playing. You know, it was a time when, you know, when I was just playing special teams, I felt like my diminished role on the team wasn't allowing me to truly become the guy that I felt like the team needed me to be. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, we all respect success. That's life. But, you know, I think as my role grew, and, you know, I was able to prove to my teammates that I was able to do that, you know, on defense as well. It's something that I take very personal. You know, the role of being, you know, in the middle of that huddle, or being in the front, you know, at the guys, you know, I'm a general that likes to be on the front lines. You know what I mean? I'm in there with all the guys, with all the soldiers, and it means everything to me. You know, I give everything out for them in every area and try to serve and help them in every chance that I get. And like I said, it's something that I take very personal. It means the most to me, to be honest with you.
Something I've learned since I got here to the Colts was that this is a team.
Who we got? Who we got here? Come on. Another special guest here.
It's okay.
The something that I've learned about, like, the Colts, when you've played here for a while and you've been a member of the community, you've been, you know, a part of it, you've been a good player on the field, all those things. Like, legacy is important to this franchise. Legacy is important to this community when they think about the players that have come through here. You're going to be here for a while. You've built a legacy here. You think about that, like, 20 years from now, 30 years from now. People are going to be like, man, like, remember that Zaire Franklin? He was a good player. He's a good man. Mm-hmm. He made an impact on his community. You think about that?
Oh, no question. It's actually a crazy thing because I don't know. Like, even when I was getting drafted, I'm be honest, I ain't play with the Colts on Madden, to be honest with you. Y'all was too good. You know what I mean? I like playing with the middle of the pack teams, you know, and earning my wins. Y'all was 98s all the time and had Peyton and Marvin. It was too easy to play with y'all. But, you know, I just think, you know, since I've been here, and it's just one of those things, you know, going on my seventh year with the same organization, that's a blessing in itself.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people don't, you know, aren't blessed to be able to be with the same organization for that long. And just to be able to be here for three more years, you know, I'm a Colt. And that's something I take pride in. Legacy is something that means a lot to me. My last name is something that means a lot to me.
No doubt.
And, you know, I just think everything that I do, not only on the field, but in the community, you know, I'm just trying to leave this place better than how I found it. So, like I said, I'm just keep giving my all to not only the Colts but the Indianapolis, and we just going to see how far we can take it.
And this little man right here, this is why you do it, right?
Oh, no question.
Who we have right here?
Oh, this little Cairo, man. This is my right hand right here, man. It's my pride and joy. It's my heart walking around.
100%. 100%, man. That right there is a great picture. if picture could say 1,000 words, that's what it is. That's what it's all about right there. Zaire Franklin celebrating big time at Hoagies and Hops.
Your Z, Frank, no substitutions. No substitutions. We don't respect the substitutions. If you get in the Hoagies and Hops cheesesteak.
Attaboy.
I'm actually old. I ain't get a cheesesteak all offseason. I got to watch
and
my weight.
And the willpower is immense with you.
What, of staying away from cheesesteaks?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I got to do a little dance with my diet in the off season. You know, it's just sometimes I go too far in the whole. It's the off season. You know what I mean? So I gotta keep it tight, as Gus would say. So that's right. We're gonna be all
right
though.
That's a good man right there. What you see is what you get, Zaire Franklin, in terms of personality and sandwiches from Hoagies and Hop. Congratulations again, my friend. You're 100% all real, and can't thank you enough for your time.
Yes, sir. Appreciate y'all, boys.
Obviously, a huge leader, and his son. His son is also a big fan of Hops. Love
He's the cutest. And it was so fun for all those guys to see, have their families here, have them around. Also, there's a phenomenal piece that premiered on Monday night from the big signing day, as we kind of called it, on Wednesday, with all of the guys who were in the building that day coming around. So definitely give that a look. It's on Colts.com, Colts YouTube as well. A couple of awesome moments with, of course, Zaire and his family, Kenny Moore and his family. Michael Pittman and his wife, and then of course Grover and Tyquan, Rigo, I mean just all of those guys, having them, it was really special to have all of them in the building together for that day, because they were just crossing paths in the hallways and you could just see how happy they were for one another, and also how motivated they all are to, you know, take what they have built to another level.
Right.
And no one is complacent, and they feel like that there is a purpose to all of them being brought back. And then also you think about it too, is the free agents, they had options of going elsewhere. Mm-hmm. They could have signed with other teams. So gives you a perspective on why those guys chose to be here.
You hit the nail on the head. Obviously, Chris Ballard went in and said, I'm keeping my guys here, stayed in-house. But they did venture outside a little bit. Let's start first off with According to Reports and, of course, the Pat McAfee Show, because we saw Joe Flacco on there. According to Reports, he will be signing with the Colts this week, apparently sometime. So Chris Ballard and team went outside of their mm-hmm. in-house stuff between Joe Flacco and Raekwon Davis, who we'll get to in a minute. But again, according to reports, the Joe Flacco thing, we've got a senior sort of a quarterback in here who is older than his head coach, who is sitting next to a young gentleman who wears number 5 and is like, okay, I haven't played a ton of football at this level, but having a guy like Joe Flacco next to Anthony Richardson, whoa.
And just in general.
Just showing the ropes, right?
Well, I think just in general, the demand that there was last season for backup quarterbacks across the NFL, the priority that there is on having someone who is reliable, who is steady, who is poised, who is proven in this league, I think means a lot. That's why you saw a lot of movement you have already at the quarterback position. I mean, gosh, look at Pittsburgh right now, what they did at the quarterback race so far.
From one week to the next, you had to
address it one way or another. And, you know, I do think that it's great. It's great all around. Certainly, it's going to be good for Anthony to continue to have, you know, resources around him to help him grow and develop, but to also, you know, have someone with stability. It came off of a phenomenal season, obviously kind of, you know, was kicked up on the couch and, you know, nearing retirement, you know, wasn't totally sure he was ready to retire, but, you know, then came in and did what he did, led the Browns to a postseason appearance. And so, yeah.
We're in good shape. And by the way, Colts.com for all the latest stuff. I think you're going to be sitting down with that Joe Flacco soon enough. So Miss Lara Overton will bring you the latest on that. Another free agent that the Colts brought in. A large, large man. And when I think of Grover Stewart and when I think of DeForest Buckner, with the addition of Raekwon Davis, who goes at 6'8", 335, he was in here last week. Mm-hmm. You guys talked to him. He walked by me in the hallway. It was like one of these things, like, holy smokes. That's murderer's row right there. Those three big guys right there. Just before, we're going to hear from Raekwon. What does he bring to this defensive line unit?
Well, we talk about how imperative it is to have rotation up front. Is he a guy who can come in and help supplement, you know, DeForest in that position, right? And give you a bit of rotation with those interior guys mm-hmm. on your defensive line. That's something that Chris Ballard has preached, building from the trenches and investing in that area. This is, I think, one of those that will be kind of a sneaky signing. Mm-hmm. I think people don't realize how impactful it is right now, but proven commodity, former second-round pick out of Alabama, had a great run with the Miami Dolphins, and is really excited for the opportunity that he has to work with this group. And I love this for Charlie Partridge, new defensive line coach, just to have more weapons in that arsenal to be able to work with and be able to develop, and guys who are really complementary pieces to one another. So yeah, that's a ferocious looking front, not just with the guys who you anticipate to be starting there, but with the rotation that you have, you know, as well, because Grover's extended, you brought, or, you know, re-signed on in free agency, Tyquan Lewis as well, coming off the best year of his career. So now you're looking at, okay, like, we've got healthy pieces, we've got hungry guys who are there up front. And two, think about, you know, anyone who you can have to allow DeForest a bit of rotation. He has been such an Iron Man, played through so many injuries over the last four seasons that you think, and I mean, rarely is he out mm-hmm. of the game, right? So if you can, to some degree, allow him to be on some rotation or any of those guys, it is certainly going to benefit that group up front and what they're going to be able to do, because although they set the franchise sack record last year, this is a team that, when they evaluated in the offseason, did not feel that they were getting to the quarterback and wreaking enough havoc nearly enough. They were not disruptive enough up front. So this is one of those moves that you've seen to address exactly that.
And a sneaky move, you mentioned him, Charlie Partridge, doing what he can do at the collegiate level. Now, keep in mind, a lot of his guys that he played underneath him at Pittsburgh and stuff, with Partridge, a new defensive line coach of
guy
the Colts.
Out of Wisconsin that was pretty good.
Yeah.
J.J. Watt.
J.J. Watt was pretty good. But I'm saying, like, not everyone's going to the next level.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Well, now he's at the next level. And these all these guys have proven it. They're the best in the world at what they do on defensive line play. So that's the interesting relationship that I'm going to be looking forward to, is see what Coach Partridge gets out of these guys, starting with those three Redwoods between Grover Stewart, you know, to, Raekwon Davis, and DeForest Buckner. So that's what I'm excited about, and who knows what sort of depth they may or may not add in the draft. But why don't we introduce you right now? Matt Taylor, voice of the Colts, J.J. Stankovic, had a chance to sit down last week with Raekwon Davis when he came into the Colts and said, hey, I'm going to sign my name on the dotted line. Let's play some football.
We're on set right now with J.J. Stankovic. I'm Matt Taylor. Pleasure to be joined by the newest Indianapolis Colt coming over in free agency from the Miami Dolphins to wreak some havoc along that defensive line. It's Raekwon Davis.
Let's go, baby.
On the podcast here with us. Raekwon, man, great to meet you. How are you?
Great to meet you, too. I'm good. How are you?
We're doing fantastic, and we just have to lead off with, I mean, obviously you had your suitors in NFL free agency. What are some things that most attracted you to the Colts?
Different scheme, you know. Just, you know, I feel like this it'd be a brand new start for me, and it's something I want to do, you know, with my career. And that's about it, man. I love, you know, when the GM called, I can hear it in his voice, man. He really wanted me here, so, you know, and I felt that, and now I'm here, baby.
Take us through that phone call. I mean, what kind of energy does Chris Ballard have about him when he's on the phone with you?
It was great, man. He was like, hey, Raekwon, like, we want you here. Like, we need you here. We want you here. I'm not hanging this phone up until we got you here. I was like, you know, think about Indy. He was like, I ain't been to Indy since, you know, the combine.
Come on now. There's a lot going on here.
Hey,
come on now.
I'm not knocking him. I'm never knocking him, man. I'm here now, so, you know, I'm looking around.
Is that how it went down, though? I mean, you committed before that phone call ended?
Yeah, he sold me. Hey, he can – hey. If you want to sell houses, he can really do it. He'll sell anybody, I promise you.
I don't know if Chris Ballard's got a future career as a realtor.
Yeah, he can be. He definitely can be a realtor. A salesman, for sure. He can do it.
Raekwon, for Colts fans who maybe don't know you as a player, could you kind of describe your playing style?
Man, great guy, man. I mean, business. I just love my player style. I love how I do things. And any O-line can tell you that. Like, they love that big guy right there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's business.
You kind of mentioned the scheme change, getting in a different type of a scheme. I know last year, at least, you're in kind of that 3-4 Vic Fangio multiple front thing. Here you got the 4-down Gus Bradley scheme. What excites you about playing in that?
Just trying it out, you know. I can't really describe it because I never played it, but I just know it's a lot different. I feel like it'll create a bigger opportunity for me, and I feel like I can really do it.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I mean, you are a big, powerful man, right? You're 6'7", and, you know, through these parts here coming up in a couple of weeks, we got the solar eclipse coming here. I don't know if you're aware of that, but I'm dubbing you as the play-by-play guy, the human solar eclipse. Where do you get your size? Like, what part of your family does that come from for you?
From my dad's side.
Is that right?
Yeah, my dad got a little height to him. And we all tall. We all just real big, you know?
What's your favorite game? Like, you know, it's kind of same thing. Like, we're talking about playing style, but, like, give me, like, a game that if fans now were going to watch this interview and say, I want to learn more about this guy.
There you go.
What game should they go watch?
Game.
YouTube highlights, right?
You can find it anywhere.
Yeah.
That's a hard one. Y'all really put me on the spot with that one.
What about even go back to, like, Bama?
Bama, that's quite a few games. I'd say Clemson game. You could pick a bunch.
There you go.
I would say, well, right now, I would say with the Patriots earlier this year, because I don't want them watching, you know, something bad. Be like, he ain't really do nothing right here, so I don't know what this is.
Yeah.
I'm trying to really give him something to watch, man. It's a couple games, man. When you turn the film, I got great energy. I love the game, man. I really love the game. I love anybody I play against because I feel like, this guy, he on the side of me. I feel like he's with me. He's ready to go to war with me. So anybody I'm playing with, like, it's go time.
That's how it goes.
I know it's like a kind of that interior defensive tackle. We've talked with Grover Stewart about this here, about how, like, you may not get the, you know, the sacks or the the big highlight plays, but, like, how much satisfaction do you take in, like, you know the impact you had on a play, even if you're not the one making the tackle or the play?
Yeah, I mean, man, Christian, listen, after Christian or Zach made the play, they'd be like, yeah, right. You know what I'm saying? Or we'll come back to the sideline because, like, people don't really understand, like that guy in the middle taking them double teams or making that running back go left or right. You know what I'm saying? You taking him off his running steps, so, like, that's good, man. It's good for a nose. You know, nose don't really get that much credit, but it's going to get that one day when the people really learn the football and understand what's going on.
You mentioned Christian Wilkins. Last year in Miami, you guys were seventh against the run, and you obviously used that all the way to the playoffs. What did you learn about your time playing in the Miami defense, being as good at stopping the run as you guys were, and what did you take from your time playing with a great player like Christian Wilkins?
We all played off each other, you know? We all had different assignments. You know, you got me in the middle. Mm-hmm. You got to be stalked. You got to hold the middle down. You got to be, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, you got to make that running back go left or right. And Christian and Zach was good as, you know, making them plays.
Sure.
And, you know, that helped the defense, you know. And, you know, the corners, you know, the corners be in there too now. They got to come up sometime and make them little sneaky tackles in the open field, you know.
Colts got a pretty good one of those in Kenny Moore the second for coming up making tackles. On the D-line, how do you form that chemistry now with DeForest Buckner, Grover Stewart, Kwity Paye, Dio Dangbo, Tyquan Lewis, those guys?
Easy, man. Just every day at practice, just working it, you know, working our crafts, just seeing what we can do to get better, like what we can do to, you know, build that bond, you know? This is going to be easy, man. I really can't wait. Like, I'm really excited right now.
What do you admire about Grover Stewart? What do you admire about DeForest Buckner? I'm sure you watched a lot of their film and saw the way that they play within this scheme in terms of weighing your decision to make this move to come over to the Colts. What is it about those guys that you can use to your advantage as you supplement this defensive line?
Man, I mean business. Like, everything I'm with and everything I represent, it's the same thing with them. They mean business. And I feel like me, you know what I'm saying, being with them boys, we all on the same page.
Yeah.
And, we just want to take this thing. I think every guy on this team got the same goal.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, we want a ring. And we're gonna do whatever it takes to get one.
All right, you mentioned your last time in Indianapolis was the Combine. What year was that, like 2018?
No, no, I ain't that old. That was 2020.
2020? It's been a little bit, right?
2020, man.
Come on now. I mean, how excited are you to play? Because I know you haven't experienced Lucas Oil Stadium, but, man, it gets thumping. It gets loud. How excited are you to –
I love the energy, man.
Yeah.
I went to Bama, you know. I'm used to that.
I know you are.
That's stuff I'm used to. But, man, I love that energy. I love great energy, man. Great. Like, I want to hear that noise. Get me going.
All right, Raekwon Davis, give us the snapshot. Who are you off the field? What kind of drives you away from football a little bit?
I've been a great dad, man. I love my son.
There you go.
That's my joy. That's why I love.
How old?
2 and 6.
Oh, God bless you.
Josiah and Camilo Davis.
That's awesome.
That's great.
Good for you. Well, thank you so much for squeezing us in. I know you got a crazy busy day, you know, coming up here for the first time since 2020 now, all right? So we got that straight.
Hey, I'm going to get to know the seat, though. I'm going to look around. You know, I got time now to look. So, you know, back
I
then,
understand.
The draft, you didn't really have that much time to just look around.
Absolutely.
I got time now, though.
Indeed. He's going to be wreaking havoc along that defensive line for next year and beyond wearing a Colts helmet. Raekwon, thank you so much for the time, man. Congratulations.
Thank you for having me.
More depth, and that big man right up front that's going to be, like, again, there's not a lot of people in the NFL that play that size, and I've watched the highlight of him. Mm-hmm. He's very agile at that. I mean, you got to play at this level at that size, which is just ridiculous. I mean, it's breathtaking. You'll see it, guys. Trust me. I don't know what number that Raekwon's going to be wearing, but when you see him on the field alongside of Grover Stewart and alongside of DeForest Buckner, man, who's going to want to run on these guys?
Well, hold on. Speaking of numbers, did you see in Atlanta that Kirk Cousins is going to go with 8 because Kyle Pitts is going to – or 18 because Pitts is going to keep 8?
I did see that,
I was sorry, just a deviation there. But from numbers, I was like – Oh, man, I was surprised, right? Like, not often do you see, I mean, because Pitt's just a young guy, you know, usually there is a gentleman's agreement, right? And there's some incentive. A
couple of hamburgers.
Right? So I was shocked by that. So it is always fun to see.
Don't know how that happened.
Guys do numbers-wise.
Much
right?
love to Kyle Pitts. We're not, you know, much right. love, but it is Kirk Cousins, who does have quite a career behind his back. But.
Oh, you'll see something coming up, too. Talking, kind of flashback. Yeah. Now we're going, this is like a ping pong match right now. Speaking of Zaire Franklin and his journey, you know, do you remember that when Zaire came into his first camp, he was given 97?
I don't like that.
That was his number.
97? He looks perfect in 44.
He had earned 44. They basically gave him 97. And so that's a conversation that we had when he sat down in here. You'll see that coming up a little bit later, a little bit of insight into that. Throughout the offseason.
Again, that is, we talked about this earlier in the show, but Behind the Colts is a great inside look behind the curtain and the way that things are done. Led by you, you do a great job at everything.
I'm just saying,
you're the one. I didn't go up to Shane Steichen's house the other night and sit down with him and his
led
family.
Led by our VP, Dave Knickerbocker, and of course, all of our production team, Matt Wilkening, editing a ton of this episode and, you know, leading a lot of that, and then our entire team that we have here as well. So everyone, truly, everyone has a hand. Everyone from content production has a hand in making this successful, from all of the motion graphics that go into it, from all of the shooting aspects, from the social media aspects of it, our PR team promoting it. So, yeah.
I'm telling you, we don't know. We're talking about what's happening today, and over the next couple of weeks, these GMs are going to be talking to one another about trying to get up in the draft or drop back in the draft and stuff like that. So we're going to do the best. We're going to bring you the latest and the greatest that we can as far as what is happening in Coltsville.
Do you wonder, like, can a GM go to, like, you feel like he probably can't go into, like, a movie at this point in the year, right? Like,
or a grocery store.
I'm just saying, like, oh, I'm going to shut my phone off for three hours and watch, you know. Well, you probably can't do that, right? Yeah, you can't do that, right?
No, you can't. I guess you could, but, you know, if it's date night with your wife and you're pinging through the whole thing, honey, I got to take this. Yeah. So you're absolutely right. Yeah. Maybe wear the ear pods and just kind of take it on the side.
Yeah, I like the move. I got to get back to Oppenheimer. So
yeah, you just can't do it. You can't put it on Do Not Disturb. Right? Like, it's too funny.
Anyway, you're right about this, because it's so fluid over the next couple of weeks of what goes on with the draft. But there's so many answers that are questions that are going to be answered for you Colts fans out there, and the general managers out there still on the keyboards. You're going to have your answers too, but this Colts team is going to be better. I mean, then obviously it's scary to think about Anthony Richardson with a year under his belt. And I know it's kind of like his second rookie year because of such limited play in his first one.
Yeah, last year's kind of a redshirt year, really, if you think about it.
I like the fact, just like Shane Steichen, he doesn't know about OTAs, but he will this year. So it'll be his first time. He wasn't there last year. But after that, being the starter, seeing how, you know, what worked for him last year through the first 5 weeks, 6 weeks, even through preseasons and stuff, just to have that under the belt, it's going to be fireworks are going to happen from Anthony Richardson.
Well, absolutely. And even beyond Anthony Richardson, think about last year, Jonathan Taylor wasn't active in OTAs. Mm-hmm. I don't think Pittman was. He was coming off of he had a
dinged
hip,
up. Yeah.
Yeah, he had a hip thing that he was working back from. Alec Pierce was not at that point in time. He had some things that he was working through. So you think about kind of what the offense looked like. It's going to be completely different with the assembly of guys that you expect to see. You hope everybody is healthy going out there. And that's really what we heard from General Manager Chris Ballard when we most recently heard from him, was that, you know, overall it had been a pretty healthy offseason, not a lot of unexpected injuries or procedures that had come up outside of what they knew at the end of the regular season.
Right.
So you think about all of those things. So I think it's so easy to forget, oh, wait, yeah, JT wasn't healthy. Pitt wasn't fully healthy. Pierce wasn't working, I think, until maybe vet minicamp was when he was working his way back in. So, and then, I mean, Josh Downs and all of those guys. I mean, basically, at that point, you know, in OTAs, Gardner Minshew had a bunch of tight ends.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think, according to reports, again, that Flacco comes in here. Anthony doesn't have an OTA under his belt. Flacco has probably about 30 of them under his belt at this point. And, like, he's going to be instrumental in following the lead of Flacco as far as even the OTAs go, because it's an area that he's familiar with practice, but the OTAs at that time of the year and what they're trying to accomplish. So,
Yeah.
We're in good shape. Again, according to reports, and we're going to bring you the latest and greatest always on Colts.com. I just want to end this with a non-football sort of an angle.
Oh, I always love when we do
this. Yes. And pre-taping here, we got talking a little bit. And this is a Southern Indiana gal. Born and raised in Southern Indiana, which is a stone.
Born in Louisville, raised in Southern Indiana, yes.
Raised, but a stone's throw away from Louisville. So basically what I'm saying is Hoosier at heart,
I know,
but really
going.
A Louisville girl. And what happens in the month of May in Louisville? We saw the pictures. We saw the dress. But the hat. Wow. The the Kentucky Derby outfit that Miss Lara Overton will be wearing this year.
I had no idea.
Outstanding. I can't wait to see pics online when it happens. But we did get a sneak peek on that. And you're looking good.
Thank
Give
you.
Give me a little bit about how you go into picking out the right thing, because it's all about the fit at the Kentucky Derby.
Okay. I am very fortunate that between covering and attending, I've probably gone about a dozen times because I worked in television in Louisville and I've done some red carpet reporting type of thing. So worked some and it just attended some for fun. And when I've gone for fun, I get to go with my parents and my siblings and it's just an incredible day. And my mom, since my parents go every year, she has an arsenal of ostentatious hats. So typically what I'll be able to do is go and ID which hat I'm going to wear, and then I find a dress that fits accordingly. But yeah, it is a time.
It's fun.
It is so much fun. It's steeped in just the tradition of it all. And, you know, I think that it's fun because people around Central Indiana can kind of appreciate it because it's, you know, you have the tradition of the Indianapolis 500, not so different from the tradition of, you know, the Kentucky Derby. When you think about all of the pomp and circumstance, like there is certainly the Derby, but there are all of these events leading up to as well, just like there is for the Indianapolis 500. Yeah. So we have our little family traditions that go along with
Bourbon.
It. So maybe. It's just always usually a little bit of that, a little mint julep.
Mint juleps? Is that a thing there?
Yeah, mint juleps are out there. And we usually do breakfast. There's a little spot on the backside called Wagner's.
All right.
The real ones know. Only thing
I wish for you guys is no rain. That's what I want. I want a bright, sunny day for you guys.
Thank you. It is the trickiest weekend of weather ever. It's sometimes raining. It's sometimes cold. All those things. Yeah, just be dry. We've lucked out the last few years that we've gone. Been pretty good weather. So that's kind of one of those things I'm looking forward
to.
You'll
see the
fit. It's great because it's the weekend. It follows the draft too. So all the draft stuff is wrapped up. Weekend prior to, I believe, rookie mini camp.
Exactly.
And those type of things. So fall's in such a fun time of year. But yeah, you got to be on point with the outfits.
You want to see the Kentucky Derby outfit? Just keep following along on Twitter.
The outfit is underneath the hat.
I know.
The hat's a
at Lara Overton. You're going to see that in a couple weeks down the road.
What's funny is when people try to get out of the car at Derby. Because everyone
the
has their hats. And yeah.
Who's dressing your husband? You doing that or is he?
He's good stuff.
He's good stuff?
Yeah.
He's got his own? Okay.
Yeah,
he's got to have the right fit. So again, at Lara Overton on Twitter X.
Yeah, there's always a little seersucker homage, you know, sometimes.
I like it. I like the celebrities that go there. I like the athletes that go there, see what they're doing. We've seen Peyton in years past when he was throwing the ball here, would bring some receivers and offensive linemen down there and stuff like that. We've seen Aaron Rodgers in the past.
You know
Patrick
who was
Mahomes.
A big derby guy, big horse racing guy, a name familiar around here? Former running backs coach Tom Rathman.
Tom Rathman liked the horses.
Quite the handicapper, Tom Rathman.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, coach, give us a little inside track if you got anything out there.
Exactly.
Enjoying his retirement, I think, up in Northern California. Thank you. Thank you very much. At Lara Overton on Twitter X if you want to follow along and find that derby fit, but you're going to want to find a lot more information regarding your Colts. Hey, this is what we do. We're leading up to the draft. We're talking about scenarios. We're welcoming in new players. And with that, thank you, Zaire Franklin. Thank you, Raekwon Davis, for sitting down. And thank you to you, JJ Stankovitz and Matt Taylor, for everything they did today. Lots coming. We don't know what's going to happen with the draft. We don't know what's going to happen with free agency from here point. But once we do, we're going to give you the news. So you keyboard GMs out there, we're going to follow you guys a little bit and see what your guys thinking. But if you want the real deal of what's going on, go to Colts.com. Follow along with the likes of at Lara Overton, Matt Taylor, JJ Stankovitz included. So I had fun. Can't wait to talk more derby with you. But more importantly, let's have some fun at this upcoming draft.
Absolutely. We got a couple of exciting weeks ahead and all culminates at the end of April.
All right. This show brought to you by our friend named Kimberly. Once again, behind the camera, we thank you for that. And Colts.com has the latest. For Lara Overton, I'm Jeffrey Gorman. Thanks for watching.